You ready for the word this morning? Amen. Amen. I want you to turn in your Bibles. Amen. Praise God. Well, you know, we love our church, which is you. Amen. You guys are the greatest and the best. Hallelujah. Well, you know, we're also starting a new series. We'd like to try to follow a theme each month. And for this month, we're calling it Follow the Leader. How you can be led by the Holy Spirit. And as you're turning to Romans chapter 8, and we're going to look at verse 14, but you know what? As believers in Christ, we have been given the greatest advantage to succeed over the world. God has given to us His Holy Spirit to lead, guide, and direct all of our affairs if we allow Him to. How many know that we don't always allow Him to do that, do we? You know, God helps us make major decisions, and He gives us directions through one means, and that is the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not discounting dreams or visions or anything like that. But I'm telling you that the primary way that God wants us to follow Him is through the Holy Spirit. He has established the greatest network of communication ever. And you didn't have to pay to get into God's communication plan. He put it in you. He has equipped every one of us that believe in Christ Jesus to hear His voice and to be able to follow Him. Now, the devil, he likes to drive, pull, and push, but God likes to lead. What would you rather be, led or pushed, pulled, or driven? You know, some people are driven to success, and that drive sometimes causes them to hurt people along the way, even themselves. You know, when you're working 80, 90 hours a week and you're not getting rest, you're driven. And something needs to change, because how many know that you need some rest every once in a while? You know, your body needs rest. So many people, I've discovered, are led by their flesh, their feelings, their experiences, the words of others, and even limitations and emotions. I say limitation because how many know sometimes God puts it in your heart to get something until you look at the price tag? And you say, well, that's too much. But you know what? We're not to be led by the price. As many as are led by the price, they shall be the sons of God. That's not what the Bible says. All right? You know, all things are possible to them that believe. It is possible for us to be led by the Holy Spirit. And when someone leads, there are always those who follow. If you have a leader, then there must be followers. And if the Holy Spirit is your leader, then you're following Him. How many know you don't want to get out in front of the leader? Right? And my question to you today is, are you following the leader? Let's look at Romans 8, chapter 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So that tells me that being a child of God, being a daughter of God, when He says sons, He's talking about daughters too. He hasn't left you out. Amen? That there is a distinction of children of God than from any other group of people. And that distinction is they are led by the Holy Spirit. Notice it says, as many as are led. So the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He will never force his way or force his will on any of us. If that were true, Jesus would force everybody to get saved, and we'd all be in heaven right now. But what God has given to man is he's given us the ability to choose. And we have to choose to let the Holy Spirit lead us. We have to choose to follow his instructions. We have to choose to be able to hear and recognize his voice. How many know the Holy Spirit is a person? He's not an it, he's not a dove, he's not a fire, although those things can resemble how he operates. But he is a person, he is God, he is holy, and he is awesome, and he wants to lead God and direct you in life. So, we need to know who the leader is. Who leads, guides, and directs you? It must be the Holy Spirit if you are a child of God. Notice he didn't say as many as are led by circumstances or as many as are led by feelings. Doesn't mean that you don't have feelings. It's just that feelings are not qualified to be your leader. Feelings are indicators that there's something going on in your body and you may not know what, you're just feeling something. All right? But he is very specific. In the New Testament, under the New Covenant, we as the children of God are to be led by the Spirit. We're not to be led whether or not God opens or closes a door. We're not to be led by circumstances. Now, here's the thing. When a circumstance occurs in our life, the Holy Spirit may speak to us in that circumstance. And we're not being led by the circumstance, but we're being led by the Holy Spirit who's talking to us about the circumstance. All right? One day, well, back in 94, I went on a missions trip to the Czech Republic. And you know, every time you go on a missions trip, you're always going to learn one thing. Well, this trip, I learned how to be led by the Holy Spirit. We were working with a humanitarian organization that had a clinic in the city of Prague. And they weren't having services at this time, but we were cleaning the building. We were making everything nice because they were getting ready to have services very soon. And one of the things they did for us was they sent us on a trip to Moravia, which is close by. Now, we had to take a train. Now, I was at college at the time, and there was the leader of our team was an instructor at the college. His name was Alan McClung. Him and his wife stayed back, so they sent the seven of us students to this area of Moravia. Now, they drew me a map on a piece of paper on how to get to the place where we were supposed to go. Well, it rained all day long. And we ended up, I don't know, we got on this train. We didn't even know if we were on the right train. No one around us spoke much English. And it rained so hard that this map that I had in my pocket, the ink started to run, okay? And we got to this, we had to walk from the train station, I don't know, a couple miles. And we had to get off the main road, onto this dirt road, back into this village that was way off the main beaten highway. And, you know, but thank God, God led us, God guided us, and God directed. We got to our destination. Now, we didn't have any food with us, and by the time we got to our destination, all the stores were closed. So all that they had in this place was noodles. We had noodles with no sauce, no salt, nothing, just plain noodles to eat. And we didn't have, the following day, the stores opened and we got some food. But the next day, our leader and his wife were going to drive to where we were because someone was lending them their car. And I really felt in my heart that I needed to take a walk and pray. So I got up that morning, and I ended up walking down the dirt path from where this little village was. And I'm just walking, I'm just praying, I'm just having a good time because something in my heart was telling me to do that. And wouldn't you know, about the time that I got to the end of the dirt road where the main highway was, my leader was driving down the road at that time. And he told me this. He said, if I hadn't seen you standing there, I'd have missed my turn. But how many know the Holy Spirit orchestrated that? He was the one who led me to do that. Now, I had to participate, you know? I can't just say, oh, that's just the plain noodles that I ate. God really doesn't want me to pray. You know, I couldn't blame that on the noodles, but something inside me was communicating, was speaking, was directing me. And if I hadn't been there at the time that I was, like I said, our leader would not have gotten there. Because he actually drove past the road, but he saw me there and he recognized me and he drove past and backed up and came down that road. How many know that God wants to lead, guide, and direct you? And you've got to allow him to do that. All right? So go with me to John chapter 16. We're going to learn some things about who the leader is. Okay, you got to know who the leader is. And say this with me, say, the leader is not me.
The leader is not me.
No, when you came to Christ, the I and the me and the myself, they took a back seat. Now, I hope you didn't make God your co-pilot, because if you did, you need to change spots. He's not a co-pilot. He is the captain of the ship, all right? And as the captain, he gets to say where the ship needs to go and what the ship needs to do. And in John 16, 13, the Bible tells us, howbeit when he, notice he's a he, the Spirit of truth is come. He is the Spirit of truth. He is directly associated and connected with the truth. All right? After all, he's really the author of the truth, isn't he? He was the one who inspired men to write what they wrote, and that's why we have it in this book. When the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into what? All truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. You know, that happened to me one time. After I graduated Rhema, I really didn't have any practical experience of ministry. I had all this knowledge and all this zeal, but I needed some, some encounters. And God sent me to Lee University, which was, at that time was Lee College, and he got me a part of this group called Pioneers for Christ. And I went to the first meeting, and like my mother-in-law, she's sitting on the front row. I sat on the front row of this meeting, and there was maybe about 20 or so college students of this group. And while sitting on that front chair, I just had a knowing in the inside. I knew that I knew that I knew. I said, I'm going to be president of this group. Now, I just got started. I just came to the first meeting. But the Holy Spirit showed me things to come. And sure enough, the next semester, I was elected vice president. And the semester after that, I became the president of that group. And that group went from 30 to 120 in one semester. And we had a service every week on campus. I mean, we had a service one time where all the people were laid out. Some people were laid out so long they missed their curfew. They were stuck to the floor. I mean, we had some awesome things, but that was my first practical experience of ministry. But I want you to know that the Holy Spirit is here to guide you. How many's ever taken a tour guide? You know, you've been on a tour, a guided tour. I took a tour guide in the Sherbrooke Castle in Vienna, Austria. And after a while, our tour guide was boring. She was monotone. And all the rooms started to look the same. And when you got a monotone guide and everything's looking the same, you want to check out of that tour pretty quick. But see, the Holy Spirit, notice he wants to guide you into all truth. Even though you know some truth, we don't know all the truth. There's more truth to know. There's more truth to experience. And you need a guide that's going to point out the important things that you need to know for you. Isn't it awesome how God has given to us a personal guide? Someone to bring us and to teach us and to direct us into all truth. I don't know about you, but I love truth. And the truth has changed my life. So you got to know who your leader is. Did you know that the plans that David had for the temple came from the Spirit of God? It says, you can just mark this down. You don't have to turn there, but 1 Chronicles 28, 11, and 12, the Spirit gave David the plans for the temple. Well, is the Spirit an architect? Absolutely. Is he a contractor? Absolutely. Is he a supervisor? Absolutely. He's everything. And he is creative. He's creator. Did you know that the Holy Spirit was just waiting for God to speak, for him to bring life to what God said? He was just hovering over the waters like a helicopter. Or like a hummingbird. I don't know how to do a hummingbird. But the Holy Spirit was involved in creation. He was waiting for God to speak, and the minute God spoke, he went into action. He began to bring to life the things that God said. So he's a creator. You got to know who your leader is. Okay? Our leader is the Holy Spirit. Nehemiah 9:20, you don't have to turn there, but it says, God's good spirit was given to you to instruct you. Do you realize that in the Old Testament, they never had the Spirit in them? The Spirit would come on them to function, but the Spirit was never in them, but you and I have an advantage. We have the Holy Spirit in us. He's not just on us, but he is actually living on the inside of us. So, he is our guide. He is our teacher. Matthew 4:1 says Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Now, Holy Spirit, why do you want to lead me into the wilderness? Because he wants to test your character. He wants to see how you are under temptation. He wants to see if you really believe what you say you believe. Guess what? Every believer in Christ will have a wilderness experience. But how long you stay in the wilderness, that's up to you. You can stay 40 years or you can stay 40 days. I don't know, I'd rather pick 40 days over 40 years. Well, what's going to make the difference? How you hear the Holy Spirit and how you respond to the Spirit. How you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you. That's going to make the difference of you getting out of the wilderness late or early. He'll let you out for good behavior. No, just kidding. The Holy Spirit is not... who's the guy that runs a prison? What's his name? Yeah, the Holy Spirit is not a warden. We're going to find that there's certain tools that he uses to lead God and direct us. Okay? Go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. I want you to see this. Are you in a hurry today? That's good. Because I'm not in a hurry either, but I won't take more of your time than is necessary. You don't have to worry. I'm not going to preach for 3 hours or 2 hours. But I'm leaving my options open. Maybe an hour and 59 minutes. No, just kidding. Galatians 5:18. If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Whoo! Do you mean that when you're led by the Spirit, you become more free than what you were? See, the Holy Spirit is not legalistic. I mean, after all, he wrote the book. If he wanted to be legalistic, he could. But He gives us a freedom. He provides us with a free atmosphere. And if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. That's good news. Because under the law, do you realize people under the law could never fulfill the law? There was no person that could ever fulfill the law that was born other than one, and that was Jesus, because he had no sin. He was the only one that could fulfill the law. But you and I, we couldn't fulfill the law. So I am so glad that if I'm led by the Spirit, I'm not under the law. I am free. God makes you a free agent. He gives you the ability to choose. Go to Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 21. Now, being led by the Holy Spirit is something that every believer is entitled to. Every believer has the opportunity. Every believer has that option. There's not one person who has received Christ as their Savior, who has faith in Christ, that cannot be led by the Holy Spirit. So then what's the problem? Usually the problem is us. And the problem is us. I just want to say that again for effect. Sometimes we are our worst own enemies in letting the Holy Spirit. Because you know what? It's so easy for us to rely on our experience. Well, I've done that. I did that 2 years ago, so I can do it the same I did it 2 years ago now. Not necessarily. If you can do it on your own, then you get the glory. God doesn't. Isaiah 30, 21. And your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. When you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. Did you ever hear the whisper of the Holy Spirit? He comes behind you and he says, hey, this is the way. Walk in it. And you'd be like, whoa, I never saw that way before. Well, the reason you didn't see it, because it was there. How many know that God had the way through the Red Sea already prepared? Moses was facing the Red Sea and the Egyptian army. But how many know Moses heard a voice? And the voice said, what's in your hand? He said, I got a stick. He said, raise that stick. And when he raised that stick, there was a path that was there that no one knew that was there, but it was because the Holy Spirit, God is a spirit, and God was leading Moses, and he showed him the way out of danger. God led Moses and the Israelites out of danger because he allowed the Holy Spirit to lead him. Listen, you may not see a way out of your trouble, but we have a way maker. We got dunamis, which is dynamite. We got dynamite. We can blast our way out. Okay? It's so important to be led by the Holy Spirit. It's so important to make him the leader of your life. Every major decision that you make, take time to listen to what the Spirit is saying. Because if you don't, you'll miss it. You'll miss God's best. And we've got to, listen, you've got to give God time to speak to you. Even though God gave the mind that created the microwave, God doesn't necessarily move by microwaves. God doesn't necessarily move by drive-thrus. Come on. You can't have instant faith. What do I add to make instant faith? Sometimes you got to take some time. Husbands and wives, I'm going to talk to you for a minute. When you were dating, when you were courting, did you take some time to communicate to each other? Was there some pursuit, ladies? And the ladies said, amen. I don't know. If there wasn't, y'all need a lesson in pursuing. How many know when you were dating, you spent extra time to communicate? You took extra means to communicate, whether it was through email or letters or phone calls. You'd spend hours on the phone, or you spend hours together because you had to communicate. What were you doing? You were building up your relationship. You were getting to know. Just like a husband and wife got to know one another, we get to know the Holy Spirit. And the way to get to know Him is to communicate with Him, is to hang out with Him, is to spend time with Him, is to give Him that time, to let Him show Himself to you. You got to develop time to recognize His voice. When my parents call me, I don't have to ask who it is. Why? I've heard their voice for 45 years. I know what my dad's voice is like. I know what my mom's voice is like because I heard their voice over and over and over, and I can recognize it above a crowd. And I reject the thought that men are wired with selective hearing. Just a little side note that has nothing to do. Don't be selective when it comes to hearing the Holy Spirit's voice. It can mean the difference between life and death. It can mean the difference between a loss or a gain. So now we know that, now we know who the leader is. We need to know where the leader is. Okay? Go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And in this study, we're going to spend a lot of time in Romans 8. Romans 8 really gives us the ways in which God leads us. Do you want to know some of the tools that God uses to lead us? I'm going to get ahead of myself, but I'm just going to give you the tools, okay? He uses life and peace. He doesn't use sadness or sorrow. The Holy Spirit uses a cooperative mind. What you think on matters. That's why we have to renew our mind. If we don't renew our mind, it's very difficult for the Holy Spirit to lead us. Number three, the Holy Spirit uses God's Word. He will always point you to the Word. He will always confirm and reaffirm the Word. Why? Because He's the author of the Word. Holy men of God wrote as they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. Number four, the Holy Spirit uses righteousness. He doesn't use wickedness to lead you. He uses righteousness. He leads you in the way of righteousness. Okay? Number five, the Holy Spirit uses how you relate to your Father God. How many know that you have to be able to relate to your Father God in order for Him to lead, guide, and direct you? If you hate your Father God, you're never going to go to Him for advice. Or if you think you can do it on your own, guess what? You can't do it on your own. All of us have tried and failed, and we got the T-shirt. Another thing, another tool that the Holy Spirit uses, He uses praise. God inhabits the praises of our people. And when we praise God, that takes our focus off of our situation, and it gives God an opportunity to speak. The Holy Spirit uses testimony. Did you know that He testifies that you are His children? He bears witness. To bear witness means to testify. And finally, two other things. The Holy Spirit uses tongues. The speaking in tongues, it causes you to be sensitive to His voice. It's so important. You know, we've been given the opportunity to be baptized with fire. John said, I baptize with water, but one who comes after me will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. How many know we need the fire of God? And then finally, the Holy Spirit uses His voice. He has a voice, and you got to learn to recognize His voice, okay? So let's go to Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. We're talking about follow the leader, and we're talking about how you can be led by the Holy Spirit. It's so important. I've heard people say, well, this happened, and this happened, so it must be God. That doesn't mean that it's God. Now, a lot of people like to point to Gideon. in the book of Judges, because God appeared to Gideon while he was threshing wheat in a wine press. And God said he was going to be a mighty man of valor, that he was going to deliver the Midianites. And Gideon was just learning how to hear from God. And so he wanted to be really sure what God was saying was so. So Gideon put out a fleece. It was the skin of a sheep. And he said, okay, if you make the sheep wet and the ground dry, I know that you're God. God did it. So he was convinced. But he said, okay, God, I hope I'm not really pressing the limit, but if you make the fleece wet and the opposite of whatever I said. And God did the opposite. And Gideon knew that God was talking to him. But because Jesus died on the cross, because he rose from the dead, we don't have to put out fleeces. We were never intended. There's never a scripture that says, thou shalt put out a fleece to hear God. That's not a commandment. That happened once in the Bible. God allowed it to happen, but he doesn't expect it to happen with us. Because Gideon did not have the Spirit in him, we have the Spirit in us, so he speaks to us directly. So you can't live your life by external things. You know the story of Joshua? There was a group of people called the Gibeonites. And they were actually part of Canaan, part of the group that God had given their land to the Israelites. And what they did was they dressed up in old shabby clothes, they carried stale bread, and they came to Joshua and they said, we've come from a far country, but they were coming from right next door. So the external things that Joshua saw, it looked like they came from a distance. They had stale bread. It looked like they'd been walking for a long time, but they were their neighbors. So this is why you can't go by external circumstances, because it's so easy to be deceived that way. The enemy is a what? He's a deceiver. And do you realize that when people are deceived, they don't know it? That's the whole point of being deceived. Satan blinds people's minds that don't believe. So you can't go by external circumstances saying this is God, that's God, this is God. No, listen to his voice. Be led by the Spirit of God. Okay? All right. Romans 8 and 9. We can finally get there now. Verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So, what's it saying? What's the difference between being in the flesh or being in the Spirit? What's the difference? The difference is the inside man. Who's on the inside will make the difference between whether or not you're in the flesh or in the Spirit. He said, if so be the Spirit of God, how does the Spirit come in you? When you accept Christ as Savior, you get his Spirit. He dwells in you. He moves in, okay? You have a permanent resident. But then there's an added bonus to having a permanent resident, and that's the baptism of fire. And that's just an added bonus, all right? That's something extra that you're entitled to as well. But notice, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Why does he say if Christ be in you or if the Spirit is in you? Because it's a choice. You have a choice as to whether or not the Holy Spirit is in you. You get to choose. You get to invite him in. You know, he only comes in by invitation. If you don't invite the Holy Spirit to your party, he may not show up. Just don't invite him to your pity party. I guarantee you he won't show up there. Amen? Go to Ezekiel chapter 36. When I was speaking to youth, I referred to Ezekiel as Eze. Ezekiel chapter 36 And let's look at verse 27. This was God's... Well, let's start with verse 25. Ezekiel 36, 25. This was God's promise from long ago. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. How many know when God gives you a bath, all he's got to do is sprinkle water, because his water is his word. And you become clean immediately. From all your filthiness and from all your idols, I will cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. Verse 27, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. So what did God want to do? He wanted to put his spirit in us from a long time ago. That was his plan. That is his will. That's what he does through Jesus Christ. He puts his spirit in us. He removes the hard heart. He gives us a heart transfusion. Anybody ever have a heart transfusion in the spirit? I had a heart transfusion. My heart was dark. My heart was black. But God gave me a new heart. One that he can shape and form. And he personally signs it. He puts his law in my heart. He writes his law in my heart so that I can do it. Isn't God awesome? So, we know who the leader is. He's the Holy Spirit. We know where he is. He's in us. He's within us. All right? Go to John 14, the Gospel of John chapter 14 and verse 10. You know, as you learn how to be led by the Holy Spirit, it'll make the difference between success or failure. John 14, 10, Jesus is talking to his disciples and said, believe you not that I am in the Father, and notice the Father in me. Huh. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me. He does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. So when Jesus was saying the Father was in him, he was saying that the Holy Spirit was in him, because God said, I am a spirit. And if the Father is in Jesus, then the Holy Spirit is in Jesus, because the Holy Spirit can be in us too. Amen? And was Jesus led by the Holy Spirit? He only did what he saw his Father do. He only went where his Father said to go. He only spoke what his Father said to speak. He perfectly demonstrated that he and the Father were one. Do you realize how come we don't have any record of Jesus performing any miracles before the age of 30? I mean, when he was growing up in the carpenter shop, and if someone was hitting a nail and they hit their thumb, you know, we don't have any record of Jesus laying hands on him and healing. What was the difference that caused Jesus to operate in the miraculous? It took place at the river. When he was baptized with water, God spoke out of heaven and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And John saw the Spirit descend on him like a dove. Do you realize he didn't? There's no record of him doing any miraculous works until he was filled with the Spirit. How do I know that? Because his first miracle was turning water into wine after he was filled with the Spirit. After he had the Spirit of God on the inside. I mean, John the Baptist was the only other person. The Bible says that he had the Spirit in him when he was in the womb. And when he would hear the name of Jesus, he'd be like this in Elizabeth's womb. Let me out! Let me out! Elizabeth would be like, what's going on in here? But see, he had that connection. Do you believe that the Father was in Jesus? Do you believe that the Holy Spirit's in you? Then it's we need to let him lead us. When people got up today, they said, they might have been tempted to say, I don't feel like going to church. What does that tell you? They're letting their feelings lead and guide them. They're consulting their feelings as to whether or not their feelings, you know, if I feel a certain way, then I'll do it. No. We're not to be led by our feelings. We don't discount our feelings. When you're driving your car and you see your little water symbol come up on the screen or whatever, you know, our cars have indicator lights, don't they? And when one of those lights come on, it just simply says that there's a problem that you don't necessarily know what the problem is, but it gives you information to find the problem, because then the mechanic can hook up a computer, he can pull the code, and then the code will tell which part of the car is not working right. Our feelings are just indicators. They're just pointing to something else, but once again, they're not to be our leaders. So the Holy Spirit was in Jesus. Go down to verse 16. Verse 16. Jesus, once again, is talking here. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you for how long? Do you know that the Spirit came to abide with you forever? That means tomorrow when you wake up, you don't have to wonder as to where the Spirit is. He's with you. He abides with you. He's in you. When you go do whatever you got to do tomorrow, you're going to take him with you. But see, that's good, because when you need help, help is readily available. When you need power, power is readily available. It's right in here. And guess what? The Holy Spirit never breaks down. He never needs an overhaul. He never needs to retool. He's the Holy Spirit. He's there to abide with you forever. Where's the Holy Spirit? He's in you. Take advantage of what's in you. You have a coach in you. You have a cheerleader in you. You have a helper, an advocate, a standby, a strengthener, a teacher, a guide in you. But too many times, we don't access what's in us. We go by our experience. We go by our feelings. We go by what's happening around us. You know, in Proverbs, it says, acknowledge God in all your ways, and he will direct your paths. But sometimes we don't acknowledge him, so therefore he is limited to direct our paths. How many know that he'll work with those who acknowledge him? And I'll never forget. I was in Illinois, and I was mowing a lawn for somebody. I finished cutting the grass, and I was weed eating. And my weed eater came apart. The bottom of my weed eater was green, and I'm mowing green grass. You know, those weed eaters, they have the centerpiece, and then they have the circle donut, all right? Well, that circle piece flew off the weed eater, and I had no idea where it went. So I put down my weed eater, and I walked around that yard just like this. And I said, Father, you know exactly where that piece is, and I thank you for showing that to me. And I just kept walking, and I kept praying. And people, if you'd have drove by me, you'd have thought, what is that guy doing walking around? That guy's crazy. No, I lost something, and I needed help finding it. And all of a sudden, I stopped, and I looked. Across the yard, underneath a bush, was my missing piece to my weed eater. I went and got that piece, I put it back on, and I finished the job. Could I have done that on my own? No. Absolutely not. I needed help. But in order for me to get the help, I had to get over my frustration. I had to not be angry, and I had to give God some time to speak to me. So I took some time and I walked and prayed, and it was the most amazing thing. I went like this, and I went, it's like an angel took my head and went, boom, right there. It's like he shined a light on it. You know, when the angel go, oh. I'm in rare form today. But do you get the point? Do you realize there's nothing I've lost that I haven't found? Let me tell you another story. Oh, today's a story day. Close to where I live is a national state park called Starved Rock State Park. And this park has a lot of trails, a lot of rock formations. And one day, my friend and I, we were out on these trails for about 3 hours. We were running on the trails, climbing rocks, doing all kinds of things like that. I get to the car, and I realized my wallet was gone. Now, I didn't have money in my wallet. I just had all my identification. So right there in the car, I said, Father, you know exactly where that wallet is. I thank you for bringing me to it or it to me. However you want to do it, Lord, I just trust you. 4 days later, I get a package in the mail, and it is my wallet. Someone found my wallet and sent it to me. How good is God? But see, I'm teaching you how to let the Holy Spirit lead you. Listen, if you're all frustrated and frazzled, you're going to have a hard time hearing his voice. If everybody in this building was going, ah, you wouldn't hear me speak. And when we go, ah, we can't hear the Holy Spirit speak. We got to calm down. We got to get a peaceful atmosphere so that God can actually speak to you. Amen? Come on, try to have an intimate conversation at a concert and see how successful you are. What do you think? I don't know. How do you? What? Go to verse 17. I'm having fun today. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Notice, the world cannot receive him. Well, how am I supposed to help someone in the world? Listen, if they want to seek God, they'll have access to him. But the world, the mindset of the world, cannot receive him because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. Notice, before Jesus was resurrected, the Spirit was with them. But after he was resurrected, he was in them. And he's in you too. And you got to trust that. Sometimes we put more trust in the GPS than we do in God's voice. And we know how reliable the GPSs are. Just go into an area that's been newly constructed and see how well your GPS does. Recalculating. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We know who the leader is and we know where he is. All right? Is this helping someone today? You know, being led by the Holy Spirit will transform your life. It takes the toil out of life. Do you realize I got here because the Holy Spirit led me? I was in a meeting, and I heard that there was this church without a pastor. I didn't need to hear anything else. When I heard those words, it was like someone lit a firecracker in my belly, and it exploded. And I said, what do I need to do to put my name in? See, but you got to understand, how I got to that meeting was a series of instructions that God gave me. If I hadn't followed those instructions prior to that meeting, I would have missed what God had for me. It was because I followed his voice to get into the right place at the right time that he presented an opportunity to me. And it wasn't until that time, you know, and so I know that God brought me here. I know that God led me here. And that's why I'm staying here. And you can't drag me out. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16. Know you not, don't you know, that you are the temple of God, that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Do you know that? Paul was telling this church, don't you know? Don't you know who's in you? He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Amen? Go with me to Romans 8. And we're going to spend the rest of our time here today. Because in this chapter, he mentions the word spirit at least 20 times. So I think he's trying to teach us something. Within this chapter are the tools that God uses to lead, guide, and direct us. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Isn't that wonderful news? But you know, that's not where the sentence ends. Now, I noticed that in some Bibles it stops there. But I went to the Young's literal translation, and it has the additional part here in the King James. Who walk not after the flesh, but what? Let me tell you something. If you're walking after the flesh, what does that mean? If you're living after the flesh, if you're letting your flesh dictate what you do in life, where you go, what you have, all that stuff, then you will be condemned. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, comma, to those who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. How you live matters. Walking according to the Spirit is allowing Him to lead, guide, and direct your steps, your way, and your decisions. It is by the Spirit that you have direct communication with God. Walk in His way. How effective the Spirit is in you depends on how you live for God. He helps you live for God, but He doesn't help you live for yourself or the devil. Uh-oh. You know, God doesn't help you live for yourself. The Holy Spirit does not put self first. Matter of fact, every time He speaks, He's speaking what He hears the Father say. He doesn't even speak His own words. He's getting input. He's giving way to the Father. And one thing that the Holy Spirit will help you do with your flesh, He'll help you crucify your flesh. Woo, yeah, thank you, Holy Spirit, for that one. The Holy Spirit knocks on your door and says, it's time to crucify your flesh today. But I don't want to. Come on. It's good. It's like medicine. It's good for you. Take it. Come on. It'll help you. You know, crucifying the flesh is the only way to have the Spirit have dominion like it needs to be. Let me tell you, Jesus knows it's not pleasant. He was crucified. But what His did set us free from sin. Okay, verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Did you know that there's a law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus? Now, we need to like the law. The law of the Spirit is much different than the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit actually provides the framework where you can be truly free. Amen? It doesn't put you in bondage, but it makes you free. But there is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. That's good news. The law of the Spirit produces life in Christ Jesus. This law is activated when you're in Christ. The virtue of this law, introduced into your being, you're now free to give your entire allegiance to the law of God. You're free to serve God. You're free to follow God. You're free to operate in his gifts. You're free to be a joint heir with Christ. You're free to experience the favor of God. You're free to have peace and joy. Righteousness, peace, and joy, those are the elements of the kingdom of God. Those are good elements, amen? All right, couple more. So, the Spirit is the author of the law that makes you free. He makes God's word powerful and effective to the good of your soul. See, the Spirit of God, he is translated into your heart, okay? The hidden man of the heart is the Spirit. It's the real you. And he gives you access to spiritual things. He shows you the way of life by salvation in Christ Jesus. He quickens dead sinners. He works faith in them. He revives drooping saints. You know, the Eeyore saints. Oh, I don't know. If you got the spirit of Eeyore on you, the Holy Spirit can make you free. He can make you like Tigger, boing, 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 boing. I mean, Josiah is like Tigger. That little boy loves to jump. I love his passion. I'm just asking the Holy Spirit to help me lead, guide, and direct that passion. See, the law of the Spirit of life, it becomes operative in the believer when you accept Christ. God imparts to you the very Spirit of Christ. Philippians 2 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What was in Christ? The Holy Spirit. What can you have in you? The Holy Spirit. Same thing. He gave us another comforter. So, the law of the Spirit of life, it creates an atmosphere of freedom where you don't do it because you obligated to, you do it because you love to. I come to church because I love God. That's the reason I'm here. I want to have an encounter with God. I want you to have an encounter with God with me. I want us together to have an encounter with God, to experience his gifts, to be saturated with his love, and to go out and to help people who don't have what we have. And it's all through the Spirit of Christ. He operates in union with Christ. Here's the difference between the two laws. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus and the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death controls, dictates, condemns, and coerces by requirements impossible to keep and threats of death when broken. Kind of like the threats your mama gives you when you're growing up. Don't mess with mama. She'll take you out. Okay, let me just give you that again. The law of sin and death, it controls, it dictates, it condemns, and it coerces by requirements impossible to keep and threats of death when broken. Okay? Now, we've been free from that. Good news. Here's the spirit, the law of the Spirit of life. It frees, it inspires, it leads by allowing you to choose to do what's right freely. Has God ever said to anyone, follow me or else? He doesn't do that. Although he does tell us, if you don't follow me, this is what will happen. Adam, you can eat of every fruit of the garden. It's yours for the picking. Just this one tree, don't eat it. Because when you eat it, you'll die. But he allowed Adam to choose. That's when you know you have a true leader, when he allows his followers to choose, to make the right choice. Jesus is a good leader. He never forces his will on you, but he allows you to choose. And you have a choice today. You can be stuck in the law of sin and death, or you can be free with the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. You can stay in bondage, or you can come in freedom. Amen? The choice really is yours. Ah, yes. I just want to leave you with this thought. For those of us that have clinged to the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, this is what we've exchanged. We've exchanged death for life. We've exchanged trouble for peace. We've exchanged darkness for light. We've exchanged bondage for freedom. We've exchanged loss for gain. Paul said, I consider everything I've done in the world loss, but so that I can gain the knowledge of the glory of God. We exchanged losing for victory. We've exchanged being lost for salvation. And we've exchanged sadness for joy. It's all because we allow the Holy Spirit to lead, guide, and direct our affairs. He leads in steps. We know in part and we see in part. We never see the whole picture. God will only give you a glimpse of the picture. Because if you see the whole picture, you'll freak out. God knows what he's doing. If Moses would have saw the whole picture of him going, he'd have freaked out. He was already freaking out. But today we have a wonderful, marvelous opportunity, and that is to allow the Holy Spirit to lead, guide, and direct us. When you're in a fight, you need the Holy Spirit's strategy to gain the victory. Because he knows about your enemy. He knows what your enemy's going to do before they do it. And he'll give you the strategy to overcome the enemy every time. When you need healing in your body, he has the perfect remedy. He knows exactly what you need and how to do it. And if we just follow him, we'll have success. Who would have thought to tell Naaman, go wash in the Jordan 7 times? You may not like that remedy, but I like the results. Or when Jesus spit in the blind man's eyes, all of us would have been watching that saying, oh my gosh, that's gross. Yeah, but I can see. I guarantee you, he didn't care how gross it was. It brought seeing to him. Why such different remedies? Because he did what the Holy Spirit told him to do. Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit. He went to certain places. It's necessary for me to go to Samaria. Well, the apostles are saying, what's in Samaria? I need to be there because the Holy Spirit's leading me there. He gets to Samaria and he meets a woman. And he talks to her. Oh, Jesus talked to a woman. Oh my goodness. But that woman was the key to the city. He talks to the woman, and she talks to everybody else, and half the town come out to hear Jesus for themselves. That tells me that Jesus was led. And where he went, it brought life and peace. It made a change. And you can change today. If you're going the wrong way, start coming the right way. If you haven't been faithful, if you've been unfaithful, be faithful. If you've been resisting God, surrender to God. We can do it today with the help of the Holy Spirit. He wants to guide you. He'll always bring you to Christ. He'll always bring you to life. He'll always bring you to good things. He never uses bad things to lead God and direct you. We're going to find that out the more we get into this. Amen? So, you're here today, Some of you, you need to make some changes. Otherwise, why? God wouldn't have said that if there weren't some people here that needed to make some changes. Amen? So I'm just going to ask you to obey the Holy Spirit right now and to come forward and to be willing to make the changes in your life that are necessary. Amen? Start obeying what the Holy Spirit's been talking to you about. Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you thanks and praise for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us another comforter, a counselor, a helper, a standby, an advocate in your Holy Spirit. And he's in us. He is the leader. We are the followers. And Lord, we give you thanks and praise that your Holy Spirit move right now in this place. I want you to move on the hearts. I want you to move in the lives. I want you to bring about the change, Father, that you desire to take place in us. In the name of Jesus. And if you'd be bold and courageous, and you'd make your way up front, and just receive an anointing to change. Amen? You know, little adjustments make the difference, bring about good results. I'm going to give you a moment to come. The Holy Spirit's moving. He's working. This is his work. He does the work. So when I lay hands on you, I believe that there's going to be a release from the Father. And whatever needed to change or adjust or to be made new, it's going to occur right now in the name of Jesus. Because we serve a good God and he loves you so much. Today, I just want you to receive of his love. It's not by works, lest any man can boast, but it's a gift of God. God wants to give you a gift today. It's got your name on it. And the Holy Spirit's got some power. We're going to start right here. Father, in the name of Jesus, oh, let that anointing just flow right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You're here for prayer? Father, right now in Jesus' name, we just let that anointing, Lord, just let it flow like water on his head down to his toes, Father, like oil. In the name of Jesus, have your way, oh God. Have your way in Jesus' name. Oh, Father, have your way in her right now in Jesus' name. Let the anointing just flow. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the anointing to make change. It can be a change of direction, a change, a slight change, a great change. The anointing is working in you in Jesus' name. Oh, Rabakasoto Rabokasanda Ramata Kasanda. Yelabato Kosanda. Sometimes you wonder which changes you need to make. Make the ones that he speaks, that he brings to your attention. Don't be so concerned about the ones you don't know. Just do the ones that you do. Father, right now, in Jesus' name.